720 WGN. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, on just a gorgeous Saturday afternoon here in our great city and beyond. I'm so lucky to be joined by Gary Grosso, who specializes in legal malpractice, but also is the mayor of our great Burr Ridge community in the western, southwestern suburbs. Gary, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, John. Thank you for having me on. Yep,
what a gorgeous day. Yep. I know, right? Yeah, our great view here, 18 stories up. And the mayor of Burr Ridge for a fairly long time, and that must be rewarding.
It is. It's public service is rewarding. I know sometimes we get a bad rap for it, but Burr Ridge is a very special place. We call it a very special place, and I've been very privileged and honored to be the mayor for many years.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about legal malpractice.
Yes,
because that's what you specialize in. First of all, how'd you get into that field?
Good question. So I'm a lawyer. Okay. I like lawyers. Lawyers are great. We need them in society. They are the bedrock of American society and American law, and they need to be respected, and they're well-educated and always great people, but sometimes they make mistakes. How I got into it was actually back in the 80s, one of our law firm, the law firm I was with, a major law firm here in Chicago, started to specialize, although lawyers can't specialize, we started to concentrate in legal malpractice defense.
Okay.
And we built a substantial practice just defending lawyers in the 80s and 90s, and I had the privilege of being with two other major firms. And so I did that for 20 years, defending them. In fact, now that I do more plaintiffs work, sometimes some of the cases that I was involved in get cited against me on the other side. So I think I did a pretty good job with a lot of other people and a lot of other support defending lawyers for over 20 years. And now in the last 20 years, I've been on the other side.
What made you want to go to the other side? Just do something different, something new? You saw something and you wanted to help?
To be blunt, it was also fees. You know, the practice of defense work is controlled by the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Whether it's a car accident, a legal malpractice, medical malpractice, any type of insurance, it's a very competitive field. They're very strict on what they want to pay and what they don't. And, you know, it's America. That's what it is. So I thought also for the change, I went on to the plaintiff side. It's a different practice, but same general concepts that have to be applied.
When I think people hear the word malpractice, they immediately think medical, right? I think that we see that a lot on TV, and we hear about that. And I am always under the assumption that doctors, I think, for the most part, have malpractice insurance, right? I think
correct.
That they're
hospitals,
yes.
Doctors, medical group practices, and lawyers also. That's part of what they do. Some lawyers don't. It's not required in the state of Illinois. You can find out if a lawyer or a law firm has malpractice insurance if you go on the attorney registration and disciplinary website and look them up. It's required to be disclosed. But yes, most lawyers who practice have malpractice insurance.
Can we define what legal malpractice is? Because I'm sure it takes on many forms. So give us kind of the, I don't want to say the greatest hits, the worst hits, things that happen in cases that are considered legal malpractice.
First of all, it's a tort. It's considered negligence when a lawyer makes a mistake. And after all, we're all human, even lawyers, okay?
Yeah.
And they make a mistake. And sometimes those mistakes don't cause any problems. Sometimes, rarely, occasionally, they cause very major problems to the client, to the company that lawyer or law firm represented, to the person they were defending in a lawsuit or bringing a lawsuit for, a transaction that they were involved in that went south, a contract that's no good, a will or a trust that suddenly isn't what the estate was intended to do. That negligence, that error, we have what we call a but-for rule. But for that error, but for that mistake by the lawyer, something else better would have happened. I would have won my lawsuit. I would have gotten the benefits of that contract. I would have gotten my estate rights that I should have gotten, but now I don't. So you have to prove that but for the lawyer's mistake, you would have benefited in some way. And obviously, lawyers are in all of America's fabric. They're everywhere, right? And that's a good thing because, as I said before, they are the bedrock of our law system and legal system. So if you're being represented and something goes wrong, you probably have a remedy for that wrong if you can prove it's the lawyer's mistake.
Right. Do you have to prove intent or malice or no?
No. And that's important. And I really do want to make this point, John. I've had lots of cases where the lawyers were just beside themselves when an error did occur.
Right.
Or something occurred on their watch because another lawyer in the firm that they were supposed to supervise or a paralegal or something went wrong. Time and again, lawyers step up and say it was an error. So, no, it's not malice. It certainly is not. It's not intent. No lawyer, I've never seen a lawyer intentionally try to harm a client, you mm-hmm. know. That isn't it. It's just that people make errors, and sometimes those errors are very costly to a client, and that's why the lawyer and the law firms have legal malpractice insurance.
So legal malpractice is a little different than what you might see for grounds for appeal in a case, right? Like where we see this all the time where defendants claim I wasn't giving proper representation. These are different areas we're talking about, right?
Yes. The competency is something that maybe in a criminal case,
right.
You see it from time to time. Those are rarely ever, and certainly nothing that I have ever handled or would handle. There is a minimum standard of competency. Most judges are very good at making sure, whether or not it's a civil case or a criminal case, that there's been proper legal work being done. Judges will make sure that will happen to the extent that they can. So those are not that's not legal malpractice. The fact that someone comes in and says, I didn't get the right appeal. You're not guaranteed a win, and you're not guaranteed. Lawyers don't have to give you the best possible care. It mm-hmm. is what is the standard of care that lawyers in this community practice in that field at that time. So it's not the best. It's competent legal work, and when it falls below that level, then you might have a legal malpractice case.
312-981-7200. Call in, text in if you've got a question for Gary. We'll hope to get to those a little bit later on. 312-981-7200. All right, there's probably a lot of people listening that have been part of a lawsuit or they've been part of personal injury claims or something, and maybe they've lost their case. How will they know that maybe legal malpractice took place? Because I think a lot of people just assume that everything that the lawyer did was on the up and up. They have their best, wishes in heart and everything like that. Are you guys able to kind of look at cases retrospectively and look for malpractice? Or are you looking for someone to come to you who already knows, hey, X, Y, and Z happened?
No, I don't think the average client knows. But they do the gut check, okay? When it doesn't seem right, when you get a ruling that you seems wasn't there, when you thought evidence was supposed to be admitted, it wasn't, when certain witnesses were supposed to be called and they were not, whether or not you needed an expert and whether or not there are rulings by the judge in a case that adversely affect your case. Yeah, come and talk to someone like me. Come and talk to Gary Grasso, and I'll tell you, I'll look at a record. I'll give you an idea. And it should be a substantial injury
right.
to you. What I'm not advocating for, no lawyer wants to be sued over something minor, okay? These are rare cases. Legal malpractice should be and is rare. But it happens, and so that's why you have to go to someone who knows it to tell you whether or not, in their opinion, there was malpractice. At the end of the day, of course, it'll be another jury or another judge that tells you if you've got a good or bad case.
Right. And I can imagine some people saying, just trying to get more clients. No, because you're going to look at it honestly. I mean, if you don't see it, you're going to tell them that because you're not going to try and sue a lawyer if you don't think you have a chance to win because you don't see the malpractice there.
Right. If there's obviously there's some economics involved for the lawyers. And so, whether or not I'm going to take a case is also very dependent on whether or not I think I can win.
Yeah.
And win a substantial award for a client who has been injured.
We're going to take a couple questions after this break, but in case anyone's running out of their car right now, how can people reach you? What's the best way?
So it's 630-654-4500 or go to grassolaw.com.
Well, in radio we say the number twice, so why don't you give it again?
630-654-4500.
More with Gary Grasso from Grasso Law after this on WGN's Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Talking legal malpractice with Gary Grasso about all things that happened, and I really want to get to for if you ever think that something's wrong or happened in your case, that's great, and they can talk to you. But there are statute of limitations here, so people sometimes have to act maybe quicker than they realize.
Yes, there are statutes of limitations, and Illinois is one of the is strictest. It's 2 years from when you knew or should have known that you were injured by the attorney. So if you think that you have a case, reach out to me or somebody that does this kind of work sooner than later, because oftentimes I get calls, or, you know, as you said before, John, is it a great case? It's a great case after I look at it and
right.
then I see the timing. And I tell them that it's likely going to get dismissed because it's not filed on time.
2 years from when the case was rendered finished, or when you knew something was up?
It's a little nebulous.
Okay.
And I will tell you, in my opinion, the judges want to side with the lawyers when they can to bar cases or dismiss cases. And so it's 2 years when you knew or should have known that you were injured. What's this? When did you really know? What was the injury?
Right.
All of that gets into play and become questions of fact, as we say.
In determining that statute, or if it is passed it, can they, in a deposition, ask you if you talked to friends and family about when you had inklings of stuff like that, or check your email records and stuff like that?
They can. They can even ask if you consulted a lawyer about that.
Right.
And while the communication itself is privileged, of course, attorney-client is privileged. In fact, the mere fact that you went to somebody and they know that date, the subject matter is not privileged. And if the subject matter is, I went to see that lawyer about a malpractice case, and they see the date, that's going to start. That certainly is evidence that it starts. So, yes.
Anything else on the timing of these things that people should know about?
Just that there is timing that's crucial, and that many cases get dismissed on statutes of limitations. We have one of the most stringent rules in the United States. And so if you have a case, come and see a lawyer like me about it as soon as possible.
That's very good. Let's go to the phone lines. Carol out of Arlington Heights has an interesting question. Carol, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I'm really enjoying your show.
Thank you. Oh, actually, Gary, do you mind putting on the headphones? That's going to help you hear the phone line.
Okay.
I forgot to tell Gary that he has to put on the headphones there. And you got a little dial down there, Gary, for a headphone if you can or can't hear. I'm just stalling for time. Carol, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I had a question, an interesting question, I think. I had the privilege of witnessing a court case this past week, and I had a question regarding the judge in a courtroom who was clearly and admittedly not up to speed on case law.
Hmm.
The attorney had a very difficult time all throughout, and it was a jury trial, all throughout the week trying to prove a point about case law, and it was so many interruptions and sidebars because of it. At the end of the day, the attorney had to request a mistrial.
Okay, so you're asking about if there's an avenue in which you
can
go after the judge. And thank you for not getting into too many specifics there. We don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, and not going after the judge.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone in that case is thinking about that. But our judge the judicial system subject to any kind of retribution because of their
right.
ignorance of law.
Gary, what do you think?
No, and they shouldn't be. I mean, they have their own internal boards of review. That if they do something grossly wrong, sometimes they're investigated or questioned, and there is a review board process. But it is nowhere near the realm of malpractice. You can't sue a judge for malpractice,
okay.
nor should you.
Because there's already checks and balances for that.
Yes. And they're oftentimes in a very tough spot. They don't know exactly what the issues are going to come up in front of them, and oftentimes, like lawyers, they have to make a decision on the spot. They may make the wrong decision, which is why we have appellate courts.
Right.
They may have made a wrong decision in this case, and the judge may well have said, you know what, there's enough error here where I'm going to grant a mistrial, which means we're just going to start over again. So, no, the judges are usually top-notch, nor should they be
right.
second-guessed all the time.
Right, because that would overflow the cases,
yeah.
right? But there's already a process in place. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great question, though, Carol. I found that interesting. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you so much. Enjoy listening.
Yeah, for sure. That's very interesting. And I think that speaks to, not that Carol got it wrong or anything, as I knock over my coffee. I'm really on top of my game here in this segment. That a lot of people don't always know exactly what malpractice is. Do you find that with a lot of folks, that they don't even know that legal malpractice existed and what it means?
Right. And that's where the standard of care comes in. I referenced it before, John, where it's what a typical lawyer would have been expected to do under like circumstances in this legal community. And that's why legal malpractice cases almost always, 95% of the time, require expert testimony. So that means that even though I'm a lawyer, and one of the reasons I've loved doing legal malpractice is because you get into all other kinds of legal issues. You know, sometimes if you're a real estate attorney, you're just doing real estate. Okay, but as a legal malpractice attorney, I get to see real estate issues, transaction issues, divorce issues, trust and wills issues, all of those. And then I go out and hire an expert.
Yeah.
And the defense will hire an expert. And, you know, it's a contest. Oftentimes, as you may have heard the phrase, battle of the experts. We put our expert on, or he or she is going to give their opinions and the basis for those opinions. The defense is going to do the same thing. And then the jury is going to decide who's more right. And it's more likely true than not true, yeah, is the standard.
We got about a minute left, so I want you to kind of appeal to a listener. I mean, what sort of clients are you looking for? What do you think that person who might have something here, what's like a standard? Like, I guess what I'm saying is like, who should be calling you? Who should be reaching out to you?
Right. If you've gotten a really bad result in something that you hired a lawyer for.
Personal injury,
a contract where you have lost substantial amounts of money. Again, we're not looking to sue lawyers over everything.
Right.
If you've lost a substantial amount of money and your gut or someone you respect tells you, hey, you got to question what the lawyer did, you know, you'll know through the process. Come and call me. We'll go through it. We'll look at it. And do it on time, please, so that you don't blow your statute of limitations.
And give that number out again a couple more times there.
630-654-4500. 630-654-4500.
You got a great voice, too. You want to join radio? You're the mayor of Burr Ridge. You do law work. You can join us in radio all the time.
I'd love to. And you know, anytime you want to discuss what's happening in Springfield and how it's affecting localities, you know, I can tell you.
I bet you have a lot of thoughts on that.
I do.
No doubt. Gary, it's great to meet you. Thanks for coming in today.
Okay, thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to do the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.